Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I'm talking art with Phil Force, owner of Kill Pop Studios, who are facilitators of modern art by local artists. Phil, welcome to Talking Art.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Great. I have to say, I am so excited to talk to you because, as I was mentioned before, I hadn't heard about Kill Pop. And I was just driving down 4th one day, and suddenly I saw on this really cool old building a very cool handmade sign that said Kill Pop. And I was just like, what's that?
So basically that's our studio / gallery.
Yeah.
It got started by my friend Kelly and I, like Kelly Stevens. Kelly Stevenson, she's from Galesburg. She was in Davenport, moved back to Galesburg. But anyway. Okay. That's kind of, we just managed to get our hands on that building, needed a lot of work, but it's a bunch of creative minds hang out there and just work on projects, big or small. So, yeah, and so when it came to putting signage up, it was like, why spend a lot of money on one? We could just make one ourselves, so that's what happened.
That's awesome. So what, you said it's kind of a makerspace in a studio, for a different groups of different creatives, but kind of what is your, like, what drives Kill Pop? What was the inspiration that started it?
Like the building or the name?
two different things. The name and the, yeah, what you do.
Okay, so we were part of another gallery, Stardog, that was below Boozy's.
Yeah.
And I actually wanted mostly more bigger space because at the time my metal sculptures were getting bigger, and that place below Boozy's only had like 6 or maybe 7 foot was the max height. So
sure.
I had sculptures that were too tall to even fit in there. So that was part of it. So we just got focused on that. It was plenty big enough to where we could build projects and just leave them there for like weeks, you know. And then we slowly started cleaning the building up more and more and got it to where we just started showcasing artwork in most of the rooms as well.
That's awesome. And how many artists kind of are in the group or do you work with?
It varies from time to time. Most of the time, it's like lately, it's just mostly just 2-3 of us there throughout
sure.
the week working on stuff. So, but other times there could be, I think we're showcasing at least 12 artists there right now.
That's awesome. And you've got a really cool show right now.
Yeah.
The Halloween, the Haunted House Art.
Yeah, it's just called the Haunted House Art Show. We don't have actors or anything jumping out and actually scaring anybody because most of the artists are also terrified of that. And then that gets scared all the time. They get scared of the mannequins. If the mannequin has just been moved 1 foot, somebody's getting scared.
Right.
So, but yeah, so we just took down all our normal artwork
yeah.
and just kind of put up anything that fit the Halloween vibe. Like
sure.
cutesy, scary, you know, macabre, like just as long as it fit the theme, we put it up, so.
Well, and let's get some logistics out of the way. When are you guys open? When is okay. the art show?
So the we're open every Friday and Saturday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sometimes we'll stay open later depending on the foot traffic, basically.
Yeah.
So. But it's every Friday and Saturday.
And the Haunted House Art Show is going through November 8th.
Yep, November 8th will be the last showing. And we always have it go past Halloween because half the artists also do haunted houses.
Sure.
Like work at the haunted houses. So they miss everything. So it just became a tradition where it normally would be the first Saturday after Halloween. But since this year, Halloween falls on Friday. So with it being on that same weekend, we pushed it one more weekend back. So
that's awesome. We had Mike Terzinski from Skellington Manor
okay.
on a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about haunted houses. And I have a love-hate relationship with horror and Halloween things. Like, I love the aesthetic of it, but the actual haunting and scaring, I'm like, nah, I don't love that feeling. But this sounds like a great, for someone like me, a great thing to be able to come out to and get our spooky vibe without actually soiling ourselves.
Right, yeah. Plus, there's candy and snacks. So
see, look at that. What can be better?
Right. Well, and you can bring your own drinks too. So if you want to hang out with some of the artists, that's one of the big things. Is like if we had several people stop by local breweries and just bring stuff from there and just come hang out and talk to artists and talk art for hours. So
that's awesome. Well, and it sounds like kind of what you've created there is like, yes, it's a studio. Yes, it's a makerspace, but it's a community and it's a place for artists to gather.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that's so important. And it's not, you know, I always think back as an artist looking back on like the idea of the formal like French salon where like we're going to sit around and talk about art in a drawing room. And it sounds like you kind of have that vibe.
Kind of, yeah. Then, so there's, yeah, because a lot of times on like Thursdays, there's at least two artists hanging out there on Thursdays, just in the main room, painting, yeah, watching movies, listening to records, stuff like that. So sometimes there's more. So
that's awesome. Well, and I love that idea of like kind of arts collectives. And you think back through kind of like Warhol's Art Factory or like the way Meow Wolf started with their like, yeah, we're just this group of artists that get together and sometimes we're going to make some big crazy installation together.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so much power and it's so important, I think, because as an artist, it can be so easy to isolate in your work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would assume that like for the artists that are working out of Kill Pop, they're getting so much benefit from that kind of model and that kind of spirit and community.
Yeah, there's like it helps you think outside the box of your normal like way of doing things too when you have other artists, because people do things completely different, like
right,
styles completely different, learning techniques, just anything like that. So
yeah, so where did the name come from?
The name actually just comes from a Slipknot song.
Oh, okay.
With this called Kill Pop. It was because we were coming up, we had a page of names.
Yeah.
And we started coming up with logo ideas, and that one kind of felt like it had a meaning to it. We just like, yeah, started going with that, leaning towards that one.
Well, and it, you know, it's fun because like your initial just like Kill Pop, thinking of the idea of like killing pop art.
Yeah.
So you know, and you guys definitely have a dark edge.
Yeah. So yeah, it was one that was a gritty name that also wasn't, you know, too shocking. Like it fit right.
Sure.
So it was like, oh, we can easily slap this on a t-shirt and, you know, things like that. Or it was just really easy to work with.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and you guys don't just like, you guys are doing lots of things in the community too, which is great because I've seen your attention. We were talking with Glenn Lowry a couple months ago and he was mentioning coming down to your artist markets. Tell me about the artist markets.
Yeah, so our artist markets are like once a month. Unfortunately, like we've already done the October one, so that's going to be the last one, outdoor one for the year.
Yeah.
We don't charge any of the artists to set up. We pay local musicians to play live. We also work with a really small budget, so we're usually going with the, you know, single, solo, or duet, you know, songwriters and stuff like that. Every once in a while we get like a full band together. And we just, it's kind of a lot of word of mouth of just artists. We'll sometimes stop by other artist markets and ask permission if it's okay for us to go talk to some of the other, you know, the artists and let them know about ours. And so we work with Raccoon Motel. Like I talked to them and they were like, oh yeah, because they run a free one as well.
Okay.
And that's once a month indoors. So they're like, yeah, go talk to everybody, bring flyers, set them up. So and we really try to find a lot of like the newer artists too, like,
yeah,
especially ones talking to them where they, you know, that they've only been to one or two ever. And so it's like, oh yeah, come to ours. We could help you out. Some of the other artists are really cool helping them set up. Glenn Lowry was one of them. Like,
yeah,
he was, because he's got a great display, you know, just like he's got it nailed down to a science,
right?
You know, and some of the other artists were asking, and he was there helping them set up and showing them, like, you know, like if I, you know, being like, you should probably get something like this, and you can make it yourself, or you can buy it here.
Yeah.
So it was really cool seeing like the veteran artists helping out like the really new artists.
Well, and that's so important, you know. I think if whether if you've gone to art school or school for the arts, like there's so much about the theory and history and those more esoteric things.
Yeah.
But when you're coming into the world as an artist, there's so much of that just like logistical business stuff that you don't learn in school.
Yeah.
Like you learn by doing, and to be able to have that community and, like you said, those vets helping the youngsters out.
Yeah, yeah, that's a thing. Social media, like just being like, this is, you know, like you got to talk, you know, show them like, you know, this is kind of how you got to get on social media. And I fail at this all the time on just staying on top of everything. And because, it just, you know, between the my own stuff that I'm creating and things like that, but then running the market and then other shows, like I find myself sometimes falling behind too. But but yeah, just that helps out a lot of just having the people to talk to, like find out like one artist is really good at websites.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, if they can help, you know, talk to them, let them set up demonstration classes if they want to, and they can do it for free or charge just a little bit for it.
Yeah.
And just things like that helps out the whole community in general.
So. Well, yeah, and it really does. Like, there's, you know, you talked about social media, and, like, that's a full-time job. You know, trying to keep up with your social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, the media world is so fractured now, and trying to get that word out in ways that, like, you don't have a $5,000 advertising budget, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like paper flyers still help out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking them everywhere downtown, you know, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
So I recommend people still doing that. We actually have spots in our place to have things set up. Like, I know sometimes I'll get posters from John Burns at Ragged Records just because I know that these are all local shows going on, and have those displayed inside the building as well. So,
well, and I've been feeling too lately, like, and I'm as well have a love-hate relationship with social media. Like, it's like there's benefits, but with the way everything's been going, like technology and digital and AI, and like, yes, there are wonderful uses, but like as a Gen Xer growing up in that generation where we didn't have technology, then we had it.
Yeah.
Like, I've just had this longing lately to go back to analog. Everything. I'm like, I want to scrap all of it. I want to get a landline. Like, you can't reach me except if you call there.
You're gonna get dial up internet.
Yeah, well, we can skip dial up internet. Oh my gosh. But you know, I think there is with what your guys is doing, there is a nod to that time.
Yeah.
You know, like, not saying you're not having a presence out there, but there's something about, like, all that stuff is handcrafted, you know, and as we get more and more digital and farther away from that, like, I find myself just yearning for that, you know, that feel of personalization.
Right, yeah. We got some events coming up. They're not set in stone yet, but I know we have something in November, coming up in November. One of the artists, they go by the name Ray, they're setting up, like, I know that they're setting up some kind of classes stuff, and it's also kid-friendly.
Yeah.
I know that there's going to be, like, button making and all, like, all other simple, like, things of that. I wish I would have went over all that with her before coming here today on that. But, yeah, so we're going to teach a lot of that stuff. Like, some of it is, like, t-shirt design stuff. Like, like where to, like, here's an easy way of starting. Like, if you want to learn how to make all your own merchandise, like, we've got some stuff on being like, because we've done it, you know? Right. So it's like, here's an easy way to start off. And then this is what, if you want to get more into it, this is kind of a good path of going from here to here. That's like not super expensive.
Right.
Because we used to have a machine that would do like direct photo images. And it was like a $10,000 machine.
Right.
It has unfortunately died, and I've dumped about another $2,000 into it trying to get it fully operational, and it's still not working the best. So I'm like, so we've actually reverted back to silk screening. So
that's awesome.
Which is a lot. Like, I'm actually having more fun with the silk screening than I was with the digital stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's still like, I feel like there's more art involved on making it look good with the least, with less colors.
Sure. Because
the one was like, wasn't limited with colors. It could print 100 colors on an image just as fast as it would do black and white.
Right.
So, but yeah, going back to the silk screening, it's kind of like, oh, I'm only using 3 colors on this. So like, how well can I make this look with that? So it's kind of, there's that challenge to it, which it feels good having again, you know?
Yeah, well, and like we talked about that with Glenn, you know, just his process of screening and layering things. And it, you know, his art is so vibrant and just pops at you.
Yeah, it does. Actually, I've had to question him about things, being like, man, it's been a long time since I've done full silk screening. Like, you know, and just asking some questions about that, being like, yeah, I'm reverting back to that. And stuff like that. So it's great having other artists around to communicate with and debug things when you're running into issues, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's so important, kind of, again, going back to the idea of the importance of community for artists, not only for the isolation, but I know in, like, in my artistic field, like, as an actor, it's really easy to get caught up in competition between artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think is healthy.
No, not too much. I mean, there's some friendly rivalry that's kind of like more teasing and fun going on. But yeah, but there's definitely some rivalries, and it's not healthy in the art scene. Like, we've actually been trying to, with our market, just being like, kind of taming that down. Like, I've actually seen some people be there and being like, all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, everything's cool again between everybody. This is great, you know? Like,
that's awesome.
This is like it was 10 years ago. So it's like, oh, we're all having a really great time just hanging out. Like, yeah.
Let's talk about your art for a minute.
Okay.
You know, you've alluded to it.
Yeah.
And I do.
So I do junk metal sculptures and paintings. Yeah. T-shirts, like everything. Like, it started, well, recently, when I started actually I got my start out at the Artery back in its original location down in the district with Carolyn. I was just doing junk metal sculptures, like smaller ones and stuff like that. And then I started getting bigger with that, big lawn sculptures. And then I got into painting because I had started working with Regan Hatfield, and we had Star Dog going on below Boozy's.
Yeah.
And I'd be manning hours there all the time. If there wasn't customers in there, though, I was, you know, kind of like, okay, what do I do?
Right.
And surrounded by all these cool artists, like, and I was just like, I don't even comprehend full abstract. Like, yeah. I was like, I don't get why everybody's so big into it. So I started studying it and looking at it, and then started painting and going that way. And then I was like, oh, now I got to try to. Then I thought of like combining the two, doing paintings with metalwork ripping out of it or going around it, you know.
Yeah.
Just let it evolve and see where it goes.
Well, now I was scrolling through your Instagram feed, and I saw you're also doing some really cool things with abstract paintings that, depending on how you light it,
have
different images coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely for this Haunted House art show we got, there's some that I have there that, it looks just kind of like a, just a I consider it a beautiful abstract in the way of just like the colors.
Yeah.
I'm like, these colors go well. And then if you switch off the normal light and turn a black light on, and it, I use specifically glow-in-the-dark paint that takes a minute to charge up.
Sure.
So you'll be staring at it and being like, oh, it just looks different. And then slowly this image just starts getting brighter and brighter. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's a skeleton wearing a red dress. Like, okay, that's fun.
Or that's there's really this weird, cool.
crazy goblin
yeah.
like, screaming out loud. Just, you know, like, okay, all right, this is fun.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I've kind of taken, you know, like the like when you look at like the Rorschach paintings, like how you see different things. That's what I was doing with the abstracts, being like, here's this, and I started painting what I see, but then I decided to be like, I still want it to be an abstract, but when it's under a red light, this other image pops out.
Sure.
So.
That had to be fun to experiment with.
Yeah, it's fun. Sometimes it gets, sometimes it feels like it takes a long time because you're trying to make it look one way under one light in a different way. So you're constantly flipping back and forth being like, oh, I got to touch this up on the regular light because now the image is too noticeable.
Sure.
So, but it's fun.
That's really cool. Well, and that painting to me is such a lesson in patience.
Yeah.
Like I do not call myself a painter, but every now and again, I like to bust out some oil paints. And it's so frustrating because, like, I'm like, I want to do it and I want to finish it.
Yeah, that's it's.
And like oil paints, you cannot do that.
Yeah, no, I haven't even treaded with oil paints yet. I'm still just with acrylic. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I haven't even gotten close to mastering that yet. So I'm like, well, I don't even know if I want to jump into another field yet.
Well, and it, you know, I mean, I think that's such a testament to you as an artist, though, like. You know, the different mediums that you're playing with and the way you're mixing them is always so interesting to me, rather than just like, I do this one thing, you know, and I think it just, it breeds creativity when you're going across kind of different mediums and fields like that.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of it just comes from like just curiosity alone.
Yeah.
Like, just being like, what would this look like? So it just kind of started doing it. Like, I was lucky early on where, I got a couple artists to do a couple of collaboration pieces together. Like Regan being one of them, we did an entire show where he did all the painting and I just did weird metal work, like either ripping through the canvas or some of them were like really insane sculptures that just happened to have like a small painting mounted to the top of it.
Yeah.
Or just things like that. And so we really kind of pushed the boundaries on what we could do to like two-dimensional and three-dimensional work. So just having that alone. And then like I made some custom frames for Tony Siebold a few years ago. And like the frame, the custom metal frames with those specific paintings just looked so well together that it was just like, okay, like this is an obvious thing that people are not, that I'm not seeing, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that was kind of it, just being like, well, I don't see anybody else doing this, so like might as well give it a shot and see what comes out of it. So, yeah, so that's my advice to all artists. Like if you got an idea and you're like, don't see anybody else doing it, just start trying to do it yourself. Like, you're going to fail a lot of times beforehand, like I did. If I accidentally set a canvas on fire once, just trying to, because I thought I had everything under control enough and being like, oh, well, I just need to put a couple spot welds on this to add this piece right before the show.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I'm like, what's that smell? I turn around, I see the canvas smoldering a little bit, being like, yeah.
Well, how did you get started? Like kind of your art journey as a, was it something you did a lot as a kid or?
Yeah. So school? Growing up, I was, big into comic books. So I wanted to be a comic book artist. I think a lot of people said that. I'm pretty sure Glenn said that during his interview too.
He did.
Yeah. And then I got into playing music, and playing in bands. So the arts, I started slowly drifting away from just open creativity to just focusing on images for the band and flyers and posters and stuff. And It wasn't until I kind of moved back to this area and decided that I was not playing music anymore and mm-hmm. was like, I'm just going to get back into my roots of art.
Yeah.
And I worked in a lot of metal fabrication. So one of my old roommates from Lawrence, Kansas, we started getting, our boss let us mess around with all the scrap metal. And so we just started making stuff for our house to make our house look cooler.
Yeah.
And stuff. So we started welding rebar up and making spider webs and big skulls and stuff for our garage. And it just kind of evolved from there. And
that's
so
awesome.
I just, yeah, so I just kept taking the junk metal thing, being like, we had a bathroom that was really big. And I'm like, it had just a small toilet paper thing mounted on the wall and it fell off. And I'm like, yeah, just make my own. And then it just ended up being a skeleton hand coming up and out of the ground. And I'm like, okay, that's really cool. Like, what else what else around the house can we improve, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where it all like kind of started, was just making the house look cooler.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, and that's, you know, I'm always inspired so much, like when I go somewhere and you're not expecting art. And then there it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think so often, you know, some people have the misconception that, like, art is in the gallery or the concert hall or, you know, someplace more formalized. But it's those surprise art.
Yeah. Going into other people's, you know, yeah, visiting friends' houses and then going in and being like, oh, was not, you know, like, yeah, wasn't expecting so much artwork around, you
yeah.
know, especially by, it's fun when you're going through there and notice that most of it's from like other local artists or in the regional artists and stuff. And then mm-hmm. trying like pinning, like figuring out before looking at the signature, you know, being like, oh yeah, I felt like this was, so-and-so, you know? Yeah, that's art inspires a lot. So like I get inspired by because I have a collection of a lot of local artists' work that
yeah.
So it's like being able to look around and see, you know, get inspired by their work, and that's how Kill Pop's gotten too. Like just, I guess it, you know, just seeing all the work that up there by all these different artists, like, yeah, it's just so cool. Like,
yeah,
because it's like it's kind of a I actually get to look at it and be like, man, I'm actually really privileged to be able to see all of this artwork all the time, and I didn't have to pay for it.
Right.
Like I couldn't afford all of this on my own of
right.
their stuff. So it's really cool being able to just go in and it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, like if just walk around the whole place and something's gonna inspire you to do something.
Well, and that's one of the things I love most about working at Quad City Arts is like, in our gallery, we change out every, I think, 7 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks. And like every 7 or 8 weeks, I get exposed to 3 new artists
yeah.
that I probably didn't know before. And it's like, I get to look at this stuff every day.
Yeah.
You know, and see different ideas and different ways people put things together that mm-hmm. I've not thought about before.
Yeah.
Most of the times.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven down like I-80 going to Chicago and there's that farm that has, they've got like 160 satellite dishes all painted different colors.
Oh, it's been a while since I've been that way, but yeah.
Yeah, I like when I moved out to this area and was driving by, I saw those and I was like, what's up with that? And so someone actually did an article about this guy and it was just, you know, some farmer that had a handful of satellite dishes around. And it's like, well, I'm going to paint them and stick them next to the highway
yeah.
on my field. And then people just started giving them dishes and they started collecting them. And, you know, each one is painted uniquely. And like, you know, in my mind, it's like you don't think of the guy who has the 5,000 acre farm as also being the artist.
Right.
But yeah. here this guy has found this way to turn this stuff into this really kind of cool little roadside thing. You know, that everyone zipping down I-80 says like, what's that about?
Right, yeah. Now I gotta go by there. It's been a while, so.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where it's at, but like it just fascinates. Like I just love that idea of, and I think that's so important too with arts is like you don't have to have formal training. You don't have to have done an art class. Like as humans, we are inherently creative beings, you know?
And yeah, like, I argue with people with that when they say, like, I don't have anything, I have no artist bone in my body, I can't do anything. It's like, we just have to figure out what it is.
Right.
You just have, it was like, got to just play around with each different thing a little bit, but it seems like somebody, you're going to, like, because I have a couple friends that said the same thing, and then they got on their kid's digital pad and was messing with Procreate, and they do better digital paintings than I can do with an acrylic painting. And right. I'm like, and you said you couldn't do anything, but you right. just found the one thing that actually suits you. And so.
Yeah. Do you have any experience with The Artist's Way, the Julie Cameron book?
No.
It's this woman, she wrote a book called The Artist's Way, and it's kind of intended as like a, I think it's like a 12-week kind of program that you take yourself through to kind of encourage your creative life. But, and I have started it several times. I've never fully gone through the 12. But there's something in there about like getting you, and I don't know if she wrote this exactly, but talking about just having a creative mindset. And I remember last time I was going through it, like thinking about the fact that like when I make a sandwich, like just shifting your mindset of like, I'm not just making a sandwich. Like, I am creating this sandwich. This is a bunch of disparate pieces, and I am putting them together to create another thing. You know, and I think kind of that mindset, I think, is really helpful. Like, if you think you can't do art or anything, it's just like, well, can you make a sandwich? Sure. Like, that's creation. And you can do that with anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I always encourage people, like, don't make the sandwich. Create the sandwich and have the ownership over it.
Yeah. And, you know, like, from my own experiences, especially, like, when it came to painting, was, like, I was looking at, you know, all the artwork that was around me at the time. And it was, like, you know, I couldn't even get close to that stuff. But it was just baby steps, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just learning, blending colors, like, just learning basically every, you know, the steps of getting from here to there, you know. But, the journey is more fun than most of the time than the actual finished piece, so.
Yeah. Well, and I find so often with, you know, if you're going into or exploring a new medium or something, it just feels like kind of this tree where it's like, and I remember this really specifically with photography, like when I was kind of teaching myself more about photography, like, and then every little thing you learn, like, opens up this other door, and this other door, and this other door, so that there's just kind of this never-ending, like, field to learn and explore and get lost in, if you will.
Yeah.
I just think is awesome with art.
Yeah, like, with some of the photography, you know, like, I do photo shoots with friends.
Yeah.
Of things. A lot of it's for other projects, but we always seem to like be, you know, we'll get the image that we'll get what we wanted done.
Right.
And then be like, okay, like let's just play for like 15 minutes.
Like, yeah.
Is there any idea, you know, bounce ideas back and forth and see what other thing we could create just to see, like, you know, or try a different technique out. Be like, okay, I've got what I want, but let's redo this whole thing and only use the light from the candles. Like, let's get rid of all the other lighting and see how good of a shot we can get just using the candles in the room, you
right.
know, and stuff like that. It's, I feel like that's where I learn more. I feel like, at least with me, I learn more on that stuff, you know, like, okay, the spontaneous, we're going to just try to figure this out right now situations.
Yeah.
So,
well, I always figure you learn so much about anything when you're in that mode of like, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, it's real easy to read an article or watch a YouTube video of this is how to do it. But when you get in that place of like, I need to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when you get to, like you alluded to, like you get to experience the failures that you get to learn from, which are so valuable. And kind of figure out how it works.
Yeah. But we do live in that age of, if you're struggling, you can just watch the videos.
Yes.
Like, when it comes to Photoshop editing.
Yes.
YouTube has saved me more times than anything, because I've somehow just hit a button and lost all the tools. And I'm like, how do I get these tools back? Like, I'm scouting, and then it was like, I had to Google search how to get all my tools back on the screen.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad we have that.
Yes, it's. Every time I've done Photoshop, and I am not proficient in it at all, but it's like I have to relearn it every single
yeah,
time. And then you spend some time, and then you're like, oh yeah, okay, I remember. But those, digital is good for some things.
Yeah.
So what does Kill Pop have coming up? You've got the Haunted House show right now.
We have that. So that the ending of that one is the 8th. I highly recommend coming to that one on the 8th, because that's going to also be we're doing a big costume party.
Oh, fun.
Things like that. So there'll be games and movies and stuff going on. And I don't have the exact dates. I just know that we do have some classes, things going on starting in November. Then I'm working with businesses downtown to start a every other month gallery hop. Since the weather's going to be too cold to have an outdoor event,
sure,
we're going to just move it indoors to all the places downtown, like surrounding our normal spot. So
yeah, for people that don't know where you're at, where are you?
Oh, we're on it's 411 Pershing Avenue. So it's like basically the intersection of 4th Street and Pershing Avenue. Like, we're just on the other side of the train track bridge from Armored Gardens. So
yeah, and it's got an interesting history, the building.
Yeah. Yeah, so quick history, I guess, on the building. It was originally built to be a brothel. That's why there's like 3 bigger rooms down on the first floor and 7 small rooms upstairs.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so we've kind of slowly turning into each of the rooms upstairs to have their own themes. Like, one of them, like, has been completely blacked out, so it's great for extremely low-lit things,
mm-hmm.
Or black, the color-changed paintings and things like that.
Yeah.
Then we have a black light room. We have a room that we just let people draw on the walls.
Oh, fun.
And stuff. And that's a thing. It's just like, I'll walk in there and be moving something, because we'll have mannequins with shirts on there.
Yeah.
Merch stuff, and be like, I haven't seen any of these doodles before, so I'll find myself in there for an hour and a half just reading and everything on the walls. So there's that. Let's see. I think that's it that we have planned directly in the books. I know we have...
Yeah.
Springtime shows coming up, and I there's talks of one in February. So
oh, cool. Well, where's the best place for people to find out info?
Our Facebook page. Just look up Kill Pop. Sometimes you have to type Davenport in behind it to find it.
Sure.
Like, if you're newer to the area, you know. But if you've friends with a lot of other artists, it should pop up right away.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
We're working on a new website. That's why I'm not dropping the website info down, because it's in the middle of getting completely redone. So we got an online store, so we'll be able to sell all the artists' merchandise and prints and everything directly off that too. So
that's awesome. Cool. Well, you're doing great work over there.
Oh, thanks. I'm trying. Like, it was like, especially this past year, it's just been about rebuilding the community, you know, because we lost a lot of small galleries over the past few years. So it was just kind of like we had the capability of doing it. Like, our market got started because somebody said, we have a parking lot. Why are we not doing an artist market? And it's like, good idea. All right.
Yeah.
So anybody who has good ideas or anything is more than welcome to swing by and, or if they're interested in setting up a show, like, we've got plenty of room for that. So we're working on other places to have pop-up galleries at in the mm-hmm. future. So
that's awesome. Well, keep it up.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
So. Yeah, if you're listening, come on down to the Haunted House Art Show at Kill Pop. open until November 8th. Thanks for joining us for Talking Art. And for more information on Kill Pop, you can check out their Facebook page. One word, Kill Pop, exactly how it sounds. I'm Ben Goujon, and this was Talking Art.